you, before you're seated, turn to someone and say, Merry Christmas. God's peace to you. Goodwill toward men. Amen. I'm going to preach. Okay. Hallelujah. Great to have you here this evening on this Christmas Eve. We're glad that you decided to join us. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow again at noon. As I was driving in from the West, we had a great service there just a little bit ago. My phone rang and I thought, gee, who would be calling me on Christmas Eve? Maybe there's a problem with something and they were calling to ask what to do or my opinion. And it was a gravelly voice on the other side talking to another gravelly voice. And it was Bill Wilson. Remember Bill? Yeah. He said, is this pastor? I said, yeah. He goes, this is Bill Wilson. He said, I'm sitting on my corner and I'm calling the people that are special in my life. And I want you to tell the people at your church I love them and thank them for their offerings. I said, Bill, I'm going to do it. And I can imagine that his moment there on that corner, he'll be there all night. He does it every Christmas Eve to remind himself of God's grace in his life and the dependence he has on the Lord for what he's done for him. So I'm just overwhelmed. I hung up the phone and I had two of my grandkids in the back seat, and Tina began to tell them the story about how Bill was abandoned there at just a young child. His mother never came back. And my little granddaughter, Emma, she said, wow, she said, my mom keeps her promises. She goes, I know my mom would come back. And it really impacted them as they heard the story. But tonight, all over the world, people are rejoicing because Jesus Christ came to give us life and more abundantly. Amen. And he's the one that can repair and restore and renew. Can I share a few minutes with you about Christmas? You know, as I reflect upon this season and being in ministry 34 years, you know, that's a long time. And that's 34 Christmas sermons. And sometimes even more than that. And as I was waiting on the Lord, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me. And he said, look, don't forget the Holy Spirit during Christmas. And I began to meditate on that. And you know what I found out? I found out there would be no Christmas if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Because you remember the story, don't you? Little Mary, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and said, you know, you're going to have the Christ child in your womb. And she said, well, I don't know a man. And he goes, that's all right. You know the man, right? It was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So you see, right from the very beginning, Christmas, if it wasn't for the presence of the Holy Spirit, there would be no Christ child. And I began to reflect on that, and I found out there was such significance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the life of Jesus. I felt like we in this time should reflect upon our dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Wednesday night and Thursday night, we had a great healing anointing service here on Wednesday night. There was such a powerful presence of God, and I know many people were healed and touched. But I got one real significant testimony that was told to me tonight as I saw this gentleman come into the service in the West, and he had his bones fused in his left foot for some reason. The doctor said, you know, it's going to deteriorate and there's not much we can do. You're going to lose movement in it. And he came up in the service that night. He said, could you pray? I said, look, I believe the Holy Spirit is here and God is able. And so we began to pray for him, and he walked away and didn't really say he felt anything or anything happened. And tonight, as he was coming in, I said, hey, Ron, how you doing? I said, I'm going to keep praying for that foot. He goes, don't worry about it, Pastor. Never mind. Take me off your list. And I said, why? He goes, because I'm healed. My foot is completely, completely normal again. I said, well, praise God. We'll check that one off. That's powerful. But that's the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So allow me just for a few minutes before we receive communion to help us understand what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. These are the words that he penned. He said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The communion of the Holy Spirit. And that really struck me. Because often in Christmas Eve, we do take communion. But that word communion is a very powerful word. In the Greek, it's koinonia, if you will. It's fellowship or it's partnership. And so Paul was admonishing. He said, listen, I want the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be on you. I want the love of God to be in you. But I want you to have the partnership and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So my prayer tonight is as we reflect on Christmas 2011 and move into the new year of 2012, which I believe is going to be very significant for the church and the nations of the earth, let's begin to have a deeper dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Because communion of the Holy Spirit is launching a life into the supernatural power of God. And you and I can expect to live in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Think with me just for a minute about the life of Jesus. To understand this word a little more, in Luke chapter 5, Peter and the guys were out fishing. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 5, verse 7, they caught such a catch that the fish was weighing down the boat to the point that it was about to sink, and they called over other boats to help them. Well, that same Greek word is there, and it means partner with me because I can't carry this alone. And when they came together with Peter, they were able to take care of the catch and be able to divide up the weight and was able to bring it back to the shore and use it as a sustenance for their entire life. But it was in the partnership or the cooperation that they had there on the water that made all the difference. And that's really what Paul is trying to tell us in 2 Corinthians 13. He's saying it's the communion or the partnership of the Holy Spirit that will come to your aid. He will actually take responsibility for your life. Now think with me the life of Jesus. Because in Luke chapter 1 in verse 35, we see that he's conceived by the Holy Spirit. But then in Matthew chapter 3 in verse 16, not only is he conceived of the Holy Spirit, but watch this. He is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember as he came up out of the water of the Jordan and the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit fell like a dove descended upon him? You see, Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, had to partner with the Holy Spirit right from the very beginning. His conception was of the Holy Spirit. His empowerment was of the Holy Spirit. And this is something I believe that God is speaking to the church. Return again to communion with the Holy Spirit, with the partnership of the Holy Spirit. You know, not long after he was empowered of the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. And there he defeated the devil in temptation at every point that you and I will ever have to deal with it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He defeated the devil and put him under his feet. And then he left that place in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful, powerful term when you begin to think that we can partner or hook up with the Holy Spirit in our life daily. We don't ever have to leave that place. You know what I began feeling this past Wednesday and the last few months, really, the Lord spoke to me and said, as you go into the new year, it's going to be a new relationship with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be something that we're inviting Jesus into our life. It's going to be Jesus inviting us into his throne room. We're just going to go out during our day and do what we do, but we're not going to just go to church. We're going to return back into the courtyards of God, the very holy of holies, and we're going to dwell there because we're being led by the Holy Spirit. Christmas means that we can partnership with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 that Jesus healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God has anointed with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I like that scripture because I understand that when I receive Christ, when I receive the love of God, I have the communion of the Holy Spirit. I have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I have the leading of the Holy Spirit. I have the birthing of the Holy Spirit. So you see, Christmas is more than just cards and trees and exchanging of gifts and food and celebration and family. And all those things are wonderful. But let's not leave out the fact that we can have an intimate partnership with the Holy Spirit, and He will take accountability for our life. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a good place to lift your hand and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Now, this is a really cool one, too. In Matthew chapter 12, we read in verse 28 that Jesus took authority over evil by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of evil in this world today. Everywhere you turn, there's darkness. But Jesus was overpowering darkness by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, if I cast out demons, how? By the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. You and I are agents of evictors. We are evicting the devil in every dimension. Wherever evil is found, wherever darkness comes, when we show up, they've got to move on. Because you and I are anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I think about Christmas and I think about the Christ child, I think about more about the commission and the partnership of what the Holy Spirit has come to give us during this season. We continue to look at this in John chapter 5 and 30 because Jesus had a total dependency on the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, he said, you know what? I can't do a thing without the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I don't go anywhere without the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I don't even know what to do next unless the Holy Spirit reveal it. I'm only here to do the will of God. I thought, wow, Lord. Let this Christmas be a time when I hook up with the Holy Spirit and I say, God, I don't want to do anything, go anywhere, say anything unless I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I've heard your voice. I want to be able to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit in this hour. Then Ephesians 1 and verse 19 and 20. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. How? By the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. How is he resurrected from the dead? By the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about it. The Bible tells us the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you. And he will quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. So when I approach the table of the Lord tonight, I'm approaching it a little bit differently. I'm not looking at it as just an exercise of Christmas Eve service. No, I'm looking at it in regards to communion and fellowship and partnership with the Holy Spirit. I want us to consider something tonight. Making a deal with God. You know, a lot of people like to make deals with the devil. You know that? People will sell their souls for stuff. I'm wondering, can you make a deal with God tonight? Can you enter into a partnership, a cooperation with the power of the Holy Spirit to go where He says to go, to do what He says to do, to be His agent here in the earth, to drive out evil, to resist temptation, and to prove the power of God is able to birth where there is no possible way in the natural, that the power of God is able to raise up out of ashes, out of nothingness, out of death. That's right. It was the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus up out of that grave. And the Bible tells us, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said, it's the same Spirit that's going to raise you up too. And he's going to quicken your mortal body too. It's the same Holy Spirit that fixed that man's foot and gone and took care of those bones. It's the same one that's touching Bill Wilson tonight as he sits on a corner. And there, 50,000 children a week have been ministered to as a result of him hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And all over the world, people are worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, tonight, we have more than just a chief of staff. You know, I've been around some pretty important people I've been privileged to kind of hang out with. I've been in the green rooms of TBN, and I've been around some of the greatest preachers that you've known. But I found out something about them. They have assistants and aides that tell them where to go and what to do. It's kind of humorous, actually. You can stand there alongside of them and suddenly one of them comes up with a clipboard and says, you know, Pastor, you've got 2 minutes and you need to go do this. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. Can you think about with me for a minute, our president. Do you think our president right now is sitting there writing all of his speeches for tomorrow? No. They got somebody that's writing all the speeches. They've got somebody that's taking care of all of the transportation. Do you think he has to stop and get gas before he gets in his car to go over to... No, I don't think he has to do that as well. I think everybody's taking care of everything for him. As a matter of fact, he has a staff and a chief of staff that have the script ready that tell him where to go and what to do at what time and how to answer and how to posture himself and how to address those that are attacking him and how to be able to speak to assurance and confidence to those that are uneasy. In other words, he has someone that's accountable or that took responsibility for his life. Let me tell you something. When you got up this morning, you've got a greater one than a chief of staff. You've got a greater one than a secretary or administrator. You've got the Holy Spirit. Because the word koinonia actually means this: I will take responsibility for your day. And when I know that I can get up in the morning and the Holy Spirit has responsibility for my day, then what am I going to be worried about? What am I going to be concerned about? I know that if God's for me, who can be against me? Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. They were ones that really communicated to him about their support and their blessing, taking responsibility. As a matter of fact, he said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14, these words. He said, "Nevertheless, you've done well that you have shared in my distress." The King James says, "communicated." In other words, you've partnered with me in my difficult times. You've partnered with me. You've related to me strength. You've given to me what I needed when I didn't know where it was going to come. That's the same word that koinonia is in the Greek. It's the same relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say in that day, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you have to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas Eve, this Christmas 2011, let's just not see him as a baby in a manger. Let's just not see him as the Christ who walked on this earth and did great miracles. That's true. Let's just not relegate him to the one that was buried, was crucified, dead and buried, and then resurrected. All of that is true. But understand, it was by the Holy Spirit that he was birthed. By the Holy Spirit that he walked in victory. Through the Holy Spirit that he was raised from the dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Listen, we have got a partner called the Holy Spirit tonight that wants to hook up with you and your family and take you into dimensions and realms in this new year that you never thought possible. If we'll just open ourselves and surrender ourselves to his leadership. You see, it means literally to take responsibility for another. Some of us have been abandoned as children, like Bill Wilson, 8 years old, on that corner. Mother said, "I'll see you in a few minutes," and never came back. Some of us have had fathers walk out on us. Some have had premature deaths in our family and have broken our hearts. Some of your partners are gone on to be with the Lord and you sit here alone tonight. People have abused us. Others have taken advantage of us. Sometimes in business, people don't follow through what they said they're going to do. Sometimes people don't keep their word. They break their word. Sometimes people will cleverly maneuver and manipulate us and take advantage of us. But let me tell you something. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have a power and an availability tonight through the Holy Spirit for him to take acceptance and accountability of our life, that I may not know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Should we have another terrorist attack like we did some 10 years ago, and the foundation of our nation was literally shaken from coast to coast. The president was, shaken. He didn't know what to do. They were covering him. They were hiding him. They were taking off an Air Force One. They were putting another man underground somewhere in a secure location. But what happens tonight if our stock market crashes down to 2,000 or 3,000 on the Dow? What happens if oil goes through the roof at $400 or $500 a barrel? And suddenly we have blackouts across our country. What happens if someone somehow sabotages our whole drinking water systems in major countries, major cities in our country? What happens tonight if our political system is broken down to a point where there's a revolution and anarchy in our nation? You say, well, that can't happen in America. You know, I think most of us are sitting here tonight going, you know what? That's a very likely event. That could probably, I could see that happening today, where 10 years ago, prior to 9/11, we wouldn't have never thought that possible. But listen, it doesn't really matter what happens tomorrow, because I know this, that if I am hooked up, if I am in relationship with the Holy Spirit, I know that He will take accountability. He will make me accountable, and He will take responsibility for my life. So it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow or even what happens tonight, because I know that with God, all things are possible. And that's why tonight I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking through me to say, get to know me. Get to relate to me. Get become more intimate with me. Acknowledge me. You can't really do much without me, and your religion is not going to cut it. You need a relationship with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we come into the table of the Lord tonight, let us come in with that understanding. You see, He desires to be your partner. He also wants to assume responsibility for you and me in this world. And it requires a surrender to His leading. That's really what it requires. I want to surrender to You, Lord. I want to give everything that pertains to my life over to You, the Holy Spirit. I love Benny Hinn's book many years ago, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. It was an introduction again to the church to get in touch and intimate with God's voice. And oh, how we have to return there, don't we? We have to be people of the Spirit and not people of the natural. We can't allow our eyes to deceive us or our ears to give us erroneous information. We need to allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak deep in our hearts tonight. And as we approach this table, the table of the Lord, I'm reminded of fellowship and communion. In a little while, many of you, as our family will gather around a table and we'll exchange gifts as our custom is. And we'll have fellowship and communion around the table. And I want my family to understand the depth of that experience. That it's just not a tradition. It is a partnership. We are a family in partnership with one another, with the call of God upon our life. But also for you and me, when we come to this table, it is saying, Father, I come in partnership. I come, O God, in cooperation with You. And I thank You that You've taken responsibility for my life. So Paul then penned the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning in verse 23. This is what he said. I received from the Lord that which I've also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. See, this is all about intimacy. It's all about relationship. He goes on to say, in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Tonight, as we take these elements in our hands, we acknowledge and celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But these elements represent koinonia with the Holy Spirit. They represent partnership. They represent the Holy Spirit taking responsibility for my life. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, will you give Him your life? Let's prepare our hearts now to receive communion. Tina, would you like to help me? And if our ushers can come, we appreciate that. And let's worship while we prepare to pass these out tonight. Could come down and we'll give it to you. Yeah. You have more? Okay. Just pass it on. Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. Go ahead and just worship while we pass these out, would you? Go ahead. Bread up before you tonight, and we break this wafer, symbolic of your body that was broken for us. And we know, Lord, that tonight as we come to your table, we come, Father, with a desire for partnership with the Holy Spirit. We desire tonight, God, to commune with you on a more intimate basis than we ever have before. Now bless this bread as we receive it tonight, thanking you for hanging upon a cross, shedding your life blood for us, in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just lift your hands, close your eyes, and give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're so good, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, I want to be. Come, Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. So Lord, I lift up this cup tonight and I recognize that the fruit of the vine our Savior's precious blood shed for me. All I can say, Father, is thank you. Your redemption has so changed my life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we partake of this cup, can you reaffirm your communion with the Holy Spirit? Right where you're sitting. I just want you to come, Holy Spirit, in my life. Bathe me in your glory. Fill me with your presence. Lead me every step of my life. Empower me with your precious anointing. May I, O God, be a light in a dark world. Holy Spirit, come right now. I desire to be with you, to hear your voice, and to walk with you every day of my life. So I come to this table now, Father, with a heart's passion and desire to partner with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Bless this cup now as we receive it in Jesus' name. Let's take it together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I say, welcome, Lord. Welcome, Lord. Welcome, Spirit of God. Touch me. Heal me. Renew me. Thank you for your fellowship, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. If you're here with a need tonight in your physical body, we just want to believe God for a miracle for you and for healing in your body. So, man, if that's you tonight, just stand where you're sitting there. Just stand up. We just want to pray for you. Just acknowledging that you have a need physically in your body. God is able. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Do a work now. Our desire is to partner with you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if you would, ladies and gentlemen, look around. If you see somebody standing, get an eye on them. And then now quickly go to them and lay hands on them. Let's pray a prayer of faith tonight. Father, we're believing, God, that the power of the Holy Spirit is present to heal. Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter, God, how far things have gone. It doesn't matter the degree of the infirmity. We know, Lord God, that you are the great physician. And we welcome you right now into this place. We lay hands upon those whose bodies, Father, have some kind of sickness, disorder, dysfunction of some kind. Father, whether there be a growth, whether there be, oh God, an infusion of some kind. Lord, whether there be, oh God, a weakness. Father, we know that you are able. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, you said where two or three agree, touching anything, that it shall be done. So, Father, we come in agreement together. We lay hands. You said to call the elders of the church. And, Father, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And we're believing, God, today that you are going to literally save those who are standing in faith. Lord God, thank you. By your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Release your healing virtue in this room right now, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise We'll give you all the glory. And we know, God, that nobody can heal but Jesus. Nobody can restore but the Lord. Nobody can do the miracle but the Lord. So we give you honor and praise, God. And we welcome you now, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. You're my healer. You're my healer. You're my healer. Oh, you're my restorer, Lord. Thank you, God. Heal, Father, in this place. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you come right now? Touch from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. Lord, do your miracle power. Do your miracle work in this place right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise tonight, Lord. We honor your presence here now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tina, would you join me, sweetheart, when you're done praying? And if you could just grab your candle, we'd like to... I need to get a couple candles. If you can get me one. Oh, there's a couple. Thank you. Appreciate that. And our tradition, if you would like to stand to your feet. And Robert, I think you're back there, aren't you? Cut these lights down a little bit. And what we're going to do is light our candle, sing Silent Night. We'll light one of yours and then just in turn light each other's. But, you know, I want you to remember this is a live flame. Pastor Troy showed me the other day on his smartphone a candle burning on his screen. And he was able to whisk it like that and the flame moved or something. I thought, that's kind of freaky. That won't burn you, but this will, okay? This is a real flame. So, yeah, somebody in the back, look at them. They already got one going from their iPhone. So, Tina, would you light yours as well? All right, you ready? Come on, sing Silent Night. Second verse? Okay, let's try it. Shepherd's quake.
Shepherd's quake.
About you, but I wait for a whole year for this moment. And I can't just let it go without singing the first verse one more time. I got to relish the experience. So would you bear with me? Can we try it one more time, the first verse? Okay. Let's sing it. Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, heart is cold, all is bright, by Thy virgin love and
of my family and staff and all the leadership at Church on the North Coast, we want to extend to you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed and Happy New Year. We believe that 2012, Hollywood's prophesied, it's the end of the world as we've known it. I think by the Holy Spirit, it is the end of the world as we've known it. God is about to do a powerful new thing in 2012. So we're going to rejoice in that. So, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Sing it. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Good tidings.
Good tidings. Merry Christmas, everyone. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Don't forget, we'll be here tomorrow morning at noon. If you have an offering to give, please, ushers, would you stand at the door and receive the offering from the people. God bless all of you. Be careful with the candles. We'll collect them on the way out.